I wonder if you've ever heard the story of the Ugly Duckling, a story written by a Danish poet and author, Hans Christian Andersen. In the story, a mother duck hatches a brood of ducklings. One duckling's very different from all the others. He's large, awkward, and ugly. When they all grow up, this ugly duckling turns out to be a swan, one of the most beautiful of all the birds.
Oh, Tammy, I know that story. My mother used to read it to me when I was a child. I used to feel so sorry for the duckling when all the other animals picked on it for being so ugly. But I loved the ending. When he became such a beautiful swan, all the others were so surprised.
In just the same way, sometimes we might discover that what is right in front of our eyes is very different from what we expected.
We probably all have experiences like that, don't we? And it can come as a great surprise. I believe Sandy, our guest today, had an experience a long time ago that taught her a very important lesson about judging someone on how they look.
Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Tammy. There's a little saying. I wonder if you've heard it. You can't judge a book by its cover. I'm sure you've heard this saying.
I have. And you know, it tells us that the outside cover of the book doesn't always give you a good idea of whether or not the story is good. It's just the same with people. But we often do make quick judgments, don't we?
Oh, dear. I think we're all a bit guilty of that sometimes. Let's find out what happened to Sandy.
Welcome, Sandy, and tell us, what happened such a very long time ago that made you realize that you had made a mistake?
Hi, Carol. Yes, it was a long time ago. In fact, 44 years ago. I was 7 years old and my brother was 5. He had just started walking with me to and from school. One day, something very interesting happened that changed me for the rest of my life.
Tell us about it.
I must first tell you a little about the boy who helped to change me. I'm sure you've heard the words being in love.
Oh, yes. I think it happens to all of us sometimes. We like someone so much we want to be with them all the time.
That's right. Well, I had a nickname for this boy. It was the opposite of being in love. I named him In Hate because I decided that I hated him.
Oh, that's a strong nickname. What did he do to make you feel like that?
Well, actually, nothing at all. You see, I'm Italian, and most Italians have dark hair. I had seen plenty of them in my 7 years, and there were many children at my school who had blonde or light brown hair, so I was used to that too. But this boy had bright orange hair. And that's not all. He also had a pale white face that was covered in hundreds of freckles. Not just a few, but hundreds. I had never seen anyone like that in my entire life, and I thought he looked very ugly. So ugly, in fact, that I thought he must be a very terrible boy to have been made to look like that. And you see, I must hate him if he is so ugly looking. It seemed like the only thing to do.
I guess that would make perfect sense to a 7-year-old. But did your brother feel the same way?
Oh, no. He had no idea that I felt like that until this one particular day.
So what happened on that day?
We were both walking home from school, and I happened to notice that In Hate was walking behind us. You see, that's what I called him, even though I knew his name. So I told my brother that this very ugly creature was following and that we'd better rush home quickly before he could catch up. And so we ran. That's when we got the surprise.
He started running after you?
No. As we ran, my little brother fell and grazed his knee quite badly and began to cry. Everything tipped out of his little school bag and fell everywhere. I had to stop and help him, but I was terrified that In Hate was going to be upon us any second.
And did he catch up with you?
yes, not only caught up with us, but to my complete surprise, he actually stopped to help. He comforted my brother, picked up all his pencils, and made sure we were okay. I was completely stunned. I couldn't believe it.
And that would seem like a perfectly normal thing for another child to do, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, but not for a very ugly child whom I had decided was a monster.
So he wasn't a monster after all?
Not only was he not a monster, but he was so kind to us. You see, we were one of the first families of migrants to move into the area, and no one had been kind to us like that. We were the different ones, just like the ugly duckling. We were often called names and treated badly, but this boy was going out of his way to look after us. I had never experienced that from anyone.
So others were unkind and cruel to you, but he treated you in just the opposite way.
Yes, he, the one who I thought was so terrible, turned out to be the kindest of all.
That must have been such a surprise to you.
Absolutely, yes. It made me realize that what a person looks like on the outside does not show you what's in their heart. We look on the outside of a person, but God looks on the heart, on what's inside. We often can't see that. Actually, people can be very good at hiding what's in their heart, but God knows and sees it all. On that day, I had a little peek into this boy's heart, and what I saw was very beautiful indeed.
Wow. How did that affect you?
I wish I could say that I don't ever judge other people, but I can't. After all, other experiences throughout my life have shown me that people are not always kind. And if we've been hurt, then we become very cautious about trusting people, don't we? It's actually very important to realize that being cautious is a normal thing, to avoid danger or to avoid being hurt. But prejudice is making up your mind before you have any information. I think that incident way back in my childhood taught me not to make up my mind about a person until I could see what that person was really like. It taught me to give them the opportunity to be trusted.
Has that incident made a difference to you as an adult in any way?
Oh, yes. One way that comes to my mind immediately is that I am naturally drawn toward people who are very different from me, people who come from other cultures and countries. Because of this, I now have some very valuable friends whom I would never have known if it wasn't for Jeffrey. That was his real name.
That's quite a gift that he left you then, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. A very valuable gift. Thank you, God, for making different people in different places. And thank you, Jeffrey.
On Women of Hope today, Sandy has just shared with us how she learned not to judge people by how they look on the outside. Sandy, is there anything else that has influenced you not to judge other people?
Well, Carol, there is a story in God's Word, the Bible, about a man called Jonah. In this story, we learn how God feels about us judging other people. Jonah was a prophet from a place called Galilee in Israel, and his story takes place over 700 years BC, or before Jesus Christ was born. During this period of history, Assyria was a powerful, violent nation and Israel's most dreaded enemy. The Lord spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and deliver a message to the people of that city. Jonah was supposed to warn them to change their evil ways or suffer the consequences of their wickedness. If they didn't listen, God would destroy them.
So tell us more. Did he go?
He had no intention of going whatsoever. Instead of obeying God, Jonah took off in the opposite direction. The Assyrians had done terrible things to Jonah's people. For him to go to their capital city would have been terrifying. Imagine going to the house of your enemy to deliver a message that you know is going to make you very unpopular. He knew too that if he gave them the message, the people might listen and act on it. Then God would not punish them, because God's nature is to forgive. Jonah hated the Assyrians and probably would have liked to see God punish them, So as well as being scared of them, like I was of Jeffrey, he also would have been angry with them and wanted them destroyed.
So what happened?
Well, God did something extraordinary to bring Jonah back when he went off in the opposite direction. You may have heard the story of Jonah and the big fish. Some people say it was a whale. Let me tell you this part of the story from the Bible. To get away, Jonah bought a ticket to travel on a ship. He set off, hoping to escape from God and the task he had given him to do. But God sent a violent storm that was about to break up the ship. The sailors were terrified and threw some cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Jonah was asleep in the ship, so the captain woke him up. "How can you sleep in this storm?" he asked him. "Get up and pray to your God to save us all." After a while, the terrified sailors asked Jonah, "What should we do to stop this storm?" Jonah told them it was because he was running away from God. So he said to them, "Throw me into the sea and it will become calm again." But the sailors just rowed harder. This made no difference. So finally they threw Jonah into the sea. Immediately the storm stopped. The sailors were amazed and worshipped the true God. Now, here is the extraordinary thing that God did. God arranged for a very big fish to swallow Jonah. He stayed inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah cried out to God, worshipped him, and promised to obey him. Then God made the big fish spit Jonah out onto the beach.
Can you imagine what this must have been like for Jonah? First, the terrifying storm. Then telling the sailors to throw him in the sea. And finally, thinking he was going to drown but being swallowed by that big fish. Imagine the smell in that fish's stomach. So what do you think Jonah did as soon as the fish spat him out? I think I know. But tell us, Sandy.
Jonah hurried off to Nineveh and bravely told the people God's message. They listened. And what do you think? They changed their ways, and God did not punish them after all. Now, you would think Jonah would have been pleased, but he wasn't. Jonah walked away from the situation, mad at God. He built himself a little shelter outside the city and sat there and sulked.
Now, why did he do that?
He thought God should have destroyed those people instead of sparing them. He was so angry with God that he said he'd rather die than live.
I see. So even though he could see that God loved these people enough to lead them to a new life, Jonah wanted to hold on to his hatred.
That's right. Jonah was angry and didn't think they deserved to be forgiven. That sounds silly to us, doesn't it? Jonah throwing a tantrum. After all, he was a grown man. But think about it for a minute. Is there anyone you can think of that you resent and you don't want them to be successful? Is there someone who's done bad things to you and maybe you'd like revenge? That's what Jonah was feeling. He wanted those people to suffer because of what they'd done to his own people. But Jonah couldn't see into these people's hearts as God could. And he didn't understand that God's mercy and salvation is for everyone, not just the people we think deserve it.
So we really need to guard against those kinds of feelings, hatred, resentment, revenge in our own hearts, don't we?
Yes. Holding on to those feelings harms our relationship with those people and our relationship with God. It also harms our own hearts. You can feel those things hurting you. They're not pleasant feelings, are they?
Oh, no, definitely not. So if we feel hatred or resentment against someone, what can we do about it?
Well, if God is willing to forgive people who do terrible things, like the Ninevites did, he is also more than willing to forgive us for holding on to these feelings towards others. We only have to ask him to forgive us and help us change, and he wipes our hearts clean. Do you know what I do? When those feelings creep back through a memory or my thoughts, I simply tell them to leave. I say to that feeling or thought, "God has forgiven me for feeling like that. Go away. You're not welcome here. My heart only has room for love.
Wow, Sandy. And does it go away?
Eventually. It's something we can learn to do and get better and better at doing. After a while, it's almost like those feelings simply can't get into my heart in the first place. I've made it one of my life's goals to be a person who cannot be offended.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, if someone acts in a way that could offend me, I try to imagine what they've done sliding right off me as if I have oil on my back. It doesn't stick to me. I decide not to respond. And I try to forgive that person straight away. Often they don't even realize they have done or said something that could offend me. It's not always easy because sometimes it has hurt me. But I ask God to help me.
What if the person has done something really serious against you and you need to respond?
In that case, for example, if you've been robbed or someone has threatened you, you can take action without the ill feeling.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. If someone steals something, I can report them to the police so that they can deal with the situation appropriately. But whatever happens, and no matter how it has affected me, I try to let go of any anger or resentment against the person who has stolen something.
How do you find the strength to do that?
Well, God has forgiven me for all the things that I do wrong. So, do I have the right to hang on to my anger and resentment? No one's perfect, least of all me. I have made plenty of mistakes. We all do. If we had to pay for every one of those mistakes, we'd be paying for a long, long time to reach perfection, wouldn't we? In fact, we could never reach it. You see, Jesus has already paid for all my sins. He took the punishment for me when he died on the cross. I have been set free.
Just like the people of Nineveh.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Sandy.
Thank you for the privilege, Carol.
Did you notice what Sandy said about not being perfect? Are you perfect, Tammy? You never seem to get angry.
Oh, Carol, you just haven't seen me angry. But what do you think? Of course I'm not perfect. You might not see me get angry, but I sure do sometimes. That's for sure.
I think we all do. I know I've held on to bad feelings about others when they've said or done something to upset me. But Sandy's right. Jesus died and he took the punishment that we deserve. And God's word tells us that he rose again and is the one who stands before God the Father in our place. So now we have the right to ask God to forgive us. And you know what? He will.
Let's ask him to do that right now. Would you like to join me? Father God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to take the punishment for the wrong things we say and do. Please forgive us and help us to forgive others when they say and do things that hurt us. Help us not to hold on to feelings of anger and resentment against them. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.